As a younger man, the Trinity, Feast of the Trinity, was sort of an ending of the yearly cycle of the revelation of our redemption. The Son had returned to the Father, the Spirit had been manifested, and we would worship God in marvelous completeness. This was further emphasized by the way we named the rest of the Sundays, the summer and the fall. They were the second or even the 25th Sunday after Trinity or after Pentecost, and so on until Advent. Indeed, God has and was the perfect object of our worship and the source of direction for our behavior. And if we were to behave well and endure a judgment, that would welcome us into eternal, rapturous participation in God's presence forever. More and more, as the church has removed itself during my lifetime and renewed itself, we see this change. I see this postponing of our fuller participation in the life of God as something mediated by a fearful judgment, as a sort of denial, a very limited, if not childish, response to the revelation that we have witnessed during these very special and wonderful days concluding the Easter season. It would be easy to say, well, this has all been very, really quite amazing, but now back to normal. A sort of spiritual ho-hum. Just let this go off, and the relationships that Jesus was seeking to establish as he came to share our lives would really miss the point. I'd like to turn the tables on this and stress that it is the direct experience of revelation that is so essential to our coming to life in God. We really have to stay with this for a while. The moral measurement of our behavior really has to be quite secondary. Important in its way, certainly, but it doesn't give us the complete picture or provide the direction and energy for a life that we would like to term Christian. I'm sure some people feel trapped by it. They'll have nothing to do with it. I'm beginning to see that Pope Francis isn't going to change essential rules, but he seems to be putting them in context as he provides a direct experience of the divine in the wonderful example of daily living that he gives us and his beautiful emphasis on mercy. So we can take our cue from him and then enter this feast of the Trinity and the time that follows, a very rich period of our more complete entry into the life of God. We would pursue, or better, allow this to happen in our ordinary daily experience, not some special kind of emphasized time that's just unreal in the long run. We're looking for the full manifestation of God, even in our most humble, ordinary actions and daily life. Here we turn to the Gospel of the Feast. I quote, "The Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you." And then Jesus closes the cycle of this new manifestation of the divine life and declares that everything that the Father has is mine. They're the very experiences that Jesus has been trying to share with us. Instead of entering a time when God is remote from us, sublime and perfect grandeur, really quite far away, we need to consider the possibility of a more interactive response to God's complete revelation right in the center of our being, and all the consequences that has for our ordinary behavior. Catholics who have made a superficial response to Vatican II just look for changes in our Catholic moral and spiritual sensibility that would correct the guilt-laden and negative spirit of an authoritarian and legalistic church of the past. They think that by getting rid of odious laws and reforming and updating laws, we can bring the church up to snuff and really be effective. And to some extent, that's helpful. But certainly, poor laws need to be changed and updated. But haven't we been saying all along that the church really isn't about law? It's about love and the adventure of our unity with the divine being of our God. By being squeaky clean is not going to fill the bill. Let's hear some other voices. Father Philippon, provides a focus for our devotion. The complete Trinity dwells within us, he says. By worshiping the Trinity, we realize the full truth of ourselves. This statement is almost amusing for some of us who go through the years and have been involved in counseling young people from time to time, and have heard a troubled young person say, I need to find myself. How wonderful it would be to replace the object of our troubled self-searching and the odious comparisons that young people make with those who are more successful than they are, to the pure delight and marvelability that arrives out of our direct discovery of the joyful abundance and infinite diversity that we encounter when we let ourselves be overtaken by the divine presence. And this is really true at any age. Prayer can become a sort of resting in the divine beauty and abundance, and our lives find the possibility of our fulfillment and happiness. And this can be surprising and expanded beyond anything we could have expected or even hoped for. And as once more I become burdened by overwork, problems of the day, a sense of self that's regulated and mediated by negative sense of duty, and small failures and inadequacies that mount up to create a painful negative condition in my sense of self and take away any sense of satisfaction in life, well, how much do I need to call upon this full revelation of God's sharing in my life? If only I can look up and allow that to happen. I find the words of John Paul II very helpful here. In a communion of grace with the Trinity, man's living area is broadened and raised up to the supernatural level of divine life. Man lives in God and by God. Don't let the moment pass you by. So rather than return to normal or the ordinary time a little too quickly, we need to create a peaceful, imaginative moment where I can allow my life to expand into the rhythm of God's peacefulness and beauty and creative joy. In such a busy and challenging time, I cannot work harder or do more to deal with the frenzy of daily duty that often overwhelms the lives of those who would seek to follow the Christian way. I need to stay with the beauty of this time and let the peacefulness and joy of what I'm discovering take hold of my deepest desires and the hungers of my soul, and indeed that of every soul. Surprisingly, this has practical consequences. In pastoral work, the needs of the homeless, those in prison, and even the psychic wounds of those who have served in the military are getting more and more play in the national news. On the parish level, we see this sort of thing all the time. Some of the people I encounter have great skills, very intelligent, but they're broken. They will run away from any good advice that I give, and they see efforts to help them as a sort of trap. But I believe, from direct experience, that they hunger for a deeper spiritual bonding. Many have given much or have been wounded to the depths that defy customary care. It would be a good thing if you, who care about such values, could stay with God's abundant revelation during these days in an humble life that is yours in life-giving ways. Pass on the promise of healing and fulfillment to people with such hunger and vast needs. A material solution simply does not come close to meeting the needs of such people. A good advice goes nowhere. Like all of us, they long for salvation. A recognition of their soul's hunger and dignity, even the beauty of hearts that long for salvation. A real recognition of their work. And so there are even practical consequences for the spirit in these days. Open your heart to the possibilities that are at your very doorstep. Rise up and live in the opportunities of the blessed and God-centered time. As Jesus says, the Spirit of Truth will guide us. God bless you in these golden days, and may your heart reach out to those who are in deepest need. Happy feast of the fullness of our God.